Dr. Clyde Gilman.
Amen.
Is a Bible preacher. A man who loves God, loves people, a man upon whom God has placed his hand in a mighty way. I hope you'll listen. I love his enthusiasm. I love his Bible preaching. I love his spirit. And we'll benefit from listening to this man of God. Now, he will be back with us on the 17th. That's a Friday night, March 17th, for the big GSA rally and planning meeting. I want to invite you all to come back, be a part of that. It's going to be a great night. One preacher, Dr. Gilman, and brother, you'll get your money's worth since we're not charging. But be assured, that's going to be a Baptist meeting. We're going to take an offering. Be sure and plan to be here, be a part of it. Dr. Gilman, thank you, sir, for being our guest. Thank you for what you mean to so many preachers across this country. Thank you for your wonderful testimony. You stand on the book. We're looking forward to hearing you. Brother Ogdy, y'all sing.
Times are here,
feeling
hearts with fear,
freedom we
all hold dear, now is at stake.
Humbling your
heart to God,
free from the
chasing rod,
seek the way
pilgrims trod, Christians away.
Jesus is
coming, Jesus is coming soon. Surely sound.
All of the
dead shall rise,
righteously
in the skies,
going where
no one dies, heavenward bound.
Love of so many
cold,
losing their
home of gold,
missing God's
word. Evils abound.
When these signs
come to pass,
hearing the
end at last,
it will come
very fast.
Trumpets will sound. Troubles will soon be
o'er.
Happy for
surely sound.
All of the
dead shall rise,
righteously in the
skies,
knowing where
no one dies,
heavenward bound. I'm going where
no one dies,
heavenward bound.
Thank you. Thank you. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Boy, what great preaching we've had this morning. Thank you, Brother Ogdy and Brother Smith. Wow. Both of those spoke to my heart and helped me. I think it's last summer or so, my daughter was out in this area, and she went to Brother Ogden's church, and she came home and said, "Dad, you'll like him. He's a preacher." And she came home and said, "He can preach, Dad. You'll like him." And she was right. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ogden. Amen. Thank you, Brother Smith. Amen. That message last night on prayer, and then that one on the Holy Spirit this morning. Yep. What we need. Amen. Thank you for that. I'm sort of in a bind because I'm wanting the Lord to help me to preach, but I didn't pay my registration. I was going to say, Brother Smith, I'm in good shape. Brother Smith paid it for me. Amen. I was sitting back there, and he counted me down a little hard. I thought, oh, my goodness, wow. I walked right by that table last night. Brother Smith called me some time ago and asked me about preaching in 2 weeks, the 17th, on that GSA meeting, rally meeting. And he said, "Now, preacher, we're only going to have one preacher that night. I want you to come. Just going to have one preacher. I want you to come preach about an hour." I said, "Dr. Smith, for me to preach an hour, I'd have to borrow one of your sermons." But I didn't. I called Brother Chadwick and borrowed one of his. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me be a part of this conference, Dr. Smith, and thank you for coming to make this conference possible. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11 of Luke chapter 15, and I want to preach on the subject, what is your main focus? What is your main focus? And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said," you notice that? When he came to himself, he got focused. "When he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." And let's pray. Would you pray with me and for me, please? Now, Father in heaven, I pray you'd help me to preach as only you can. Dr. Smith preached about the Holy Spirit and His power and the way that you help us. Lord, I know there's been a lot of times when I've preached without your help. And then, Lord, thank you for those times when you've showed up and helped me. And I pray you do that now, just now. For the sake of those that's going to listen, help me to preach. Lord, I realized just now reading the text how much I needed you. As I stumbled through some of the words, I realized, Lord, I can't even read right and good without you helping me. I need you to help me with every thought, with every word, with every phrase, with my spirit, my actions. Help me not to try to be clever, but just clear with the Word of God. And Lord, now for some reason you've sent all these messages this week our way, and now here's the last one, and you've sent this for a reason, to get us focused. Help us to do that, to get focused, to stay focused. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated, please. Where we focus on is where we're going to end up. Where we're focused on is where we're going to end up. What we focus on is what we're going to end up doing. Whatever our main focus is, that's where we're going to end up. And that's what we're going to end up doing. And whatever our main focus is, that's what we're going to end up being. It's going to determine where we're at, what we are, and what we do. Our focus. Our focus reveals our desires. Our focus reveals the condition of our heart, what we're focused on. The goal of parents is to get their kids focused. That's the burden of a mom and dad. From when they're little, but especially as they begin to get older and older and older, it becomes the goal of mom and dad to get this kid focused. They pray about it. They teach. They instruct. They warn them. They rebuke them. They chasten them. All for the purpose of getting that kid focused for life and to do the will of God. Preachers try to get their members focused. We come to this pulpit and we holler and scream and rant and rave and pray and plead, and the reason is we're trying to get every church member lined up, every church member focused. A preacher preaches about tithing. He's not trying to get just more money. He's trying to get the church member, that child of God, focused. And we preach about missions, and we're trying to get that church member focused on tithing and missions and witnessing and soul winning and walking with God and being filled with the Spirit. We're trying to get them focused. That's why God has sent the preacher to the church, and he's given the man of God to the church to get the people of God focused. Focused. I've tried through the years to get a lot of folks focused, and every once in a while the joy, Brother Bill, of my soul is when somebody gets focused. I mean, all of a sudden, you can just see it. They come to the altar and they stand up and they begin to make things public. And man, all of a sudden, they've come to themselves. And the joy of your soul is what you was trying to do and attempting to do. It has happened, and there she or he gets focused. Years ago, I need to say another word about hunting, because when I mentioned it a little bit negative last night, I felt a coolness come over the crowd. I came to my senses this morning, and I want to let you know I was for hunting. Years ago, back in fact, some didn't even come back this morning. I've been looking, and years ago, back in the 70s, and I lived up in Farmington. And pretty good hunting country up there, deer hunting. And And so I'd go hunting, and I decided, my wife, I want to spend time with my wife. So I decided I'd try to get her focused on deer hunting. No, wait a minute. I thought, man, that'd be great. You know, Miss Gim and I go out through the woods and sit there down by the tree, and boy, just, and we could go together and we could do this thing together and we could have some quality time and family time and husband and wife. And so I decided I'm going to try to get Miss Gim focused on this deer hunting. So I talked her into it because she loves me. And she said, what time we got to go? I said, we got to get out there before daylight. And she said, won't it be cold? I said, yeah, but honey, I said, now we're going to wear red, but we've got that great big red quilt, that big heavy one. We'll take that and we'll get out there and it'll be cold, but we'll sit together and we'll put that big red quilt around us. And boy, it'll be what? And I'm trying to get her focused. So we took us something to eat and took our rifles and took that big red heavy quilt, and we parked, and I said, now honey, you see that mountain right over there? We're going to have to walk down through this little valley, and then we're going to climb up to the side of that hill, and we're going to find us a good spot, and we're going to sit there and we're going to bag us a deer. All right. So we headed out and headed down there and got down about halfway, about down in the middle of that thing, you know, and she's cold already, so she's got that big red quilt around her. I'm carrying my rifle. She's carrying hers. She's not very tall. I turned around, Dr. Smith, and she's dragging that rifle in the dirt. And it was barred. And I turned around. I said, hold that rifle up. She said, it's heavy. I said, I don't care. You hold that rifle up. So she got this big red quilt around her. She's holding this, I think it's a .30-06, and she's holding that rifle up, and we're starting climbing. And we get about halfway up that hill. She said, how much further is it? And I said, not far. We got up there, and I found a trail. I said, honey, I think this is a good spot. And we sat down there. It's still dark, you know. We sat down there for a little bit, and she said, I'm cold. And I said, shh. Now, if any of you know me and know what I'm talking about. You don't do that. I mean, I said, don't talk. She said, well, I'm cold. And we sat there a little bit, and she said, well, how long are we going to sit here? And I said, we're going to wait here till a deer comes by. And I said, be quiet now. And what, a little bit? She said, I don't like this. We sat there a few more minutes, and she said, I'm ready to go. And by then, we might as well go. So we began right then to give each other the silent treatment and headed back down through the valley and back to the truck and on back home. My point is this, I was trying to get her focused. And it never did work. I never did get her focused. And I never did ask her to go again. Huh? Focused. Parents trying to get kids focused and preachers trying to get church members focused. May I ask you, what is your main focus? I did not read the chapter for time's sake, but you know, it's about the shepherd and the woman and then the father or the son. It's about the shepherd has 99 sheep in the fold. But what's his main focus? Oh, he loves the one, the 99. He's already found them. He's already put them in the fold. But his main focus is on that one that's lost out of the wilderness. And the Bible said he leaves the 99 in the fold. And what's his focus? He said there's one out there somewhere in the wilderness that's lost. I'm going to find that one that's lost. And the Bible said he is so focused that he goes until he finds it. Then he puts it upon his shoulder and he goes heads back to the fold. He's focused on that one that's lost. That was his main focus. When that woman had 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one, and she had nine in the purse. Her main focus was one on that one that was lost in the dirt. She was focused on that one. And if you could have, that morning or that day, if you could have talked to that shepherd as he's going down the street and said, "Sir, have you got a moment?" "No, I haven't got a moment." "Sir, have you got time for some fellowship?" "No, I haven't got time for fellowship." "Where are you going?" "I'm heading for the wilderness. I know there's a lost sheep out there somewhere." That woman was focused, and that shepherd was focused. What was their main focus? That one that's lost. That was the main focus. When the Lord Jesus came, what was his main focus? He said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He was focused, and the scripture said that his face was set as a flint. In what direction? In the direction of Jerusalem, in the direction of Calvary, that place where he's going to lay down his life and shed his blood so that all lost people could come and be saved. He was focused on Calvary. Amen. On the lost. Still is. This is Saturday, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Saturday. We had our soul winning meeting that morning at 9:30. Right after the meeting, one of my ladies came to me and she said, "Brother Gilman, we've been praying for our neighbors right next door." And she said, "Preacher, you remember the name Eddie Lowry that we've been praying for on Wednesday night?" I said, "Yes." She said, "They're our next door neighbors and they're lost, we think." And she said, "Brother Gilman, I wonder if someone could go visit them. We've talked to them and we pray, but I wonder if somebody could go visit them." And I said to her, I said, "Yes." I said, "Give the name and address to Brother Tarr. And he and Brother Dean can go visit." They go visit every Tuesday night. This is Saturday. They go visit him on Tuesday. She said, "Okay." And she walked away, and the Spirit of God said, "What about you?" Sometimes we preachers act busier than we are. I said, "Give it to Brother Tarr, my assistant." That Saturday night, that night, I was convicted all night about that. I woke up on Sunday morning getting ready for church, Brother Ogden, and the Spirit of God made it very clear to me. "What about you? Won't you go visit? Won't you go make that visit?" That Sunday morning, I made a decision that Sunday morning. The Spirit of God had made it clear to me. He said, "I want you to go make that visit. I want you to go make it just as soon as church is over. And I want you to go before lunch." He said, "I don't want you to worry about eating until you go make that visit." I said, I want you to preach, and then just as soon as you get through preaching, I want you to head over there to that address and make that visit, and then you can go eat. That morning I went to Miss Carrie and I said, "Sis, let me write that name and address down." I got through preaching. I was focused on a visit. The Holy Spirit had me focused. I went over and knocked. I didn't know these folks. Went over and knocked on their door. Now, it was about 12:30, something like that. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm Pastor Gilman from Bella Vista Baptist Church." And she said, "Well, hi." And she didn't invite me in. We chatted a moment. I said, "You know, we've been praying for you and your husband over at church." I said, I'm Karen and Mark's pastor that lives next door." She said, "Won't you come in?" I said, "Sure." I said, "Your husband up and around?" "Yeah." "Yes, he's 81 years old." I walked in, right, and there he was standing in the hallway and introduced himself to me, and they invited me into the living room, and we went in and sat down, and I turned to Eddie and I said, "Eddie, I've come over here to talk to you about the Lord." And he said, that's fine, that's good. I said, Eddie, has there been a time and place in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And he said, oh, he said, I brought up in church down in Alabama. And I said, and has there been a time when, yeah, he said, there has. And I said, could you pinpoint that for me, Eddie? Could you tell me about a time and a place? And he said, well, I read my Bible every morning and I pray every morning. I said, but could you pinpoint when you got saved? He said, well, man, I read my Bible every day. And something's wrong with that testimony. And so I turned to his wife sitting there and I said, man, what about you? Has there been a time and place in your life when you, by a definite decision of faith, have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as your personal Savior? And she gave a good, clear testimony. She said, yes, I have. And I started using the word born again with her. I said, has there been a time and place? Because you can ask folks sometime, are you a Christian? Have you been saved? And they know that terminology. And I said, has there been a time and place when you've been born again? And that I went through it on how you born again, how you saved. And she gave a good testimony. I went over it again with her. And she said, I was not a little girl. I was an older girl. I knew what I was doing. I understood the gospel. And she said, yes, I got saved. Yes, I've been born again. And all of a sudden, Eddie said to me, he said, you know, preacher, I think that's what I need. He said, that born again, he said, I wasn't understanding it, but now that you explained it to my wife, he said, I don't think I've ever been born again. He said, I think that's what I need. And then he said, is there any way you could help me with that? I said, yes, sir. Yes, I can. He said, you can help me. I said, yes, sir. And I went through the scripture and I said, now, Eddie, we could get down on our knees right here and we get this settled today. And you believe the gospel? Yes. And you believe that Jesus is Lord? Yes. And you know you're a sinner? Yes. And you know you've never been saved? Yet. Yes. And now I do. And we got on our knees and he prayed. And then I talked to him about baptism. And last Sunday night he came. And I went by the next Saturday to visit him. In fact, I told him, I said, I'm going to come back next Saturday and talk to you again. And he said, okay. And he's waiting out in the yard. And I was 5-10 minutes late. He said, man, I thought I had the wrong day. He's waiting out in the yard. And he said, wait a minute. All that week he'd been going up and down the street talking to his neighbors and telling him he got born again. Yeah. Yeah, he said, man, preacher, I've got a whole bunch of neighbors that's coming. He said, they're excited about me getting baptized. I've told them I've been born again. That afternoon, he went next door to my church members, Mark and Karen, knocked on their door that Sunday afternoon. He said, I got born again just yesterday. The shepherd's focus. The woman's focus. Hey, wait a minute. What was the father's focus? Oh, I know the elder brother, he's over there painting the barn, feeding the chickens, and he's not focused on that lost boy, but the father's focused. And when the Bible said when he was a long way off, that father is focused, and he sees him when he's a long ways off. He's been focused on that lost boy. My question, what is your main focus? Let me just briefly give you, well, it's not going to be very briefly, sorry, but you know how we preachers discourage you? After we've been preaching about 30 minutes, we said, now for the message. Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me show you the focus of the prodigal son. I want you to get this. What was the prodigal focused on? Quickly. Number one, finances. He said, Father, give me the portion. He's focused on finances. He's focused on getting some money in his pocket. That's his main focus. He said, Dad, he said, when are you going to give me my inheritance? When are you going to give me what's going to come to me one day? And he's focused on finances. Number two, then after he gets his finances, then he's focused on freedom. I got to get out of here. I got to get off this farm. We get up too early, work too late. I've got to get off of this farm. And now he's focused on freedom. I've got to get away from these rules. I've got to get away from all of this work. I've got to get... My dad is so focused on the field. And my dad is so focused on the harvest. I've got to get loose. I've got to get out of here. And he's focused on freedom. That makes him focused on the far country. He's focused on finances. He's focused on freedom. He's focused on the far country. He knows exactly where he wants to go. He's focused on the far country. He's got his bags packed. The Bible said that not many days after, he gathered all together. He packs his bag. He's focused. He's focused on finances and freedom and the far country. And when he gets to the far country, he's focused on fun. I mean, he's focused. Man, he got money in his pocket. He's been focusing on fantasies. Not reality, but boy, he's got these things in his mind and he's been focusing all on all these fantasies and what it's going to be like and the fun he's going to have. And so here's the prodigal son. He's focused on finances and freedom and the far country and fun and fantasies. Then hold it. Then his focus changed. A mighty famine arose in that land. He had spent all. And a mighty famine arose in that land. And now he's not focused on fun. He's focused on food. He's not focused on fantasies now. He's not focused on fun now. He's focused on the famine, and he's focused on food, and his focus has changed. Now he's focusing on husk. Yeah, his main thing now, the Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk. Now he's looking for another husk for lunch. He's focused on the family, a famine. He's focused on his empty stomach. He's focused. He's focused also on the fact that he has no friends. No man gave unto him. His money is gone. His finances are gone. And therefore his friends are gone. And now he's focused on the... I wonder where all my friends are. And he's focused on the food and the famine and the... No friends. Now you hear me on this, class. God's able to change your focus. You get that? You better get this. God's able to bring some events in your life to get your attention. God's able to change our focus. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is on his road or his way to Damascus. He's focused on killing Christians. He's focused on stamping out the church. But on the road to Damascus, God changed his focus. On the road to Damascus, Jesus blinded him and knocked him down on his knees on the road to Damascus, and a light brighter than the noonday sun struck him blind. And he changed his focus, and Paul said, Lord, focus has changed. Lord, you know I was on my way to Damascus, but now, Lord, what would you have me to do? And now he's focused on what the Lord wants him to do. God's able to change your focus. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah's not focused on Nineveh. Jonah's not focused on the will of God. Jonah's not focused on where God wants him and what God wants him to do. So he pays the fare and heads for Tarshish. And God changes his focus. I'm trying to tell you, God's able to change your focus. They get in a big storm and that wasn't enough, and they cast him overboard and the whale swallows him and he's in the belly of the whale, and guess what? God's changing his focus. And when the fish vomits him up on the shore, he wants to know what direction is Nineveh. And what's the shortest route to Nineveh? He's focused on Nineveh. God can change your focus. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Boy, what a kingdom he has. And the Bible said God gave it to him. And then the scripture said that he lifted himself up with pride and began to talk about how great he was and his kingdom and what all he's got and what all he's done. And God brought an event in his life to change his focus. And he grew claws and feathers, and God gave him the heart of a beast. And he's out there hopping around on the prairie eating grass. God can change your focus. And the scripture said he's out there hopping around on the prairie eating grass until he knew. Till he knew that the Most High God reigned in heaven. God changed his focus. It was 1963. I was in Tulsa. Living in Tulsa. 22 years old. For a year, God had been dealing with me about preaching. My third daughter had been born in 1962, a year before in September. Now this is September of 1963. She's a year old. God had been dealing with me for a year about preaching, but I wasn't focused on preaching. Lord wasn't able to get my attention. I wasn't focused. One night, Mrs. Gibb and I had gone somewhere and left the kids with a babysitter, and we came back and picked up our kids, and the babysitter said to us about our baby. 1 year old said, something wrong with your baby. She got a high fever. You better get her to the hospital. We went home and took her temperature, and it's about 106. We rushed her to the hospital. They put her in a little baby bed and put an ice pack on her head because of the fever to keep it from damaging her brain. I was working 12 hours a day then on a job, and my mother lived up in Wichita, Kansas, and I called Mom. I said, Mom, can you come home and help us with the other kids? Connie is sick in the hospital, and I can't get Mrs. Gilman to leave the hospital, and I'm working. Could you come home and help? And I drove up to the state line and met her and brought her back home to watch the other kids. And I'd run up there on my noon hour, and I'd catch a doctor or a nurse, and I'd say, what's wrong with my baby girl? And they say, I don't know. We can't find out. We still got the ice pack on her head, and we can't determine what it is. We don't know. We can't get the fever to go down. For several days, that happened. And one day, I went up to visit her in the hospital, went down to my car to go back to work, and I sat there in the car. And God said to me, son, would you rather preach with your daughter or without your daughter? God can change your focus. And I said, Lord, I'd rather preach with her. And I surrendered in the car before I made it public in church. The next time, Brother Gerald, the next time I went to the hospital, I walked up there and got close to the room, and a nurse met me, and she said, son, she said, we found out what's the matter. Your daughter's just a virus, and we've got the fever down. God can bring events in your life to change your focus. What is your main focus? The famine caused the prodigal son to focus on his father. The famine caused the prodigal son to focus on his father's field. He said, I'm going to go home and see if my father will let me be a servant. And he knew that means working in the field, his father's field. The famine changed his focus. Now he's focused on his father. He's focused on his father's table. He's focused on his father's food. He's focused on his father's field. God has changed his focus. He's focused on his future. He's planning on being a servant the rest of his life now. His focus has been changed. My question was, the subject, what is your main focus? Your job? career? Is that your main focus, your career? Your job? Is that your main focus? Finances? Money? Money? Is that your main focus? Getting ahead? Getting something put aside? Getting some more? What's your main focus? Job? Finances? Career? What should our main focus be? These. Our main focus ought to be finding the lost. You agree? Our main focus ought to be fighting a good fight. Our main focus ought to be keeping the faith. Our main focus ought to be getting on course. Our main focus ought to be finishing our course. Focused. Wait a minute. Too many preachers falling by the wayside. I don't want to do that. I want to stay focused. I want to finish my course. Focused. What should our focus be? Following fully, like Caleb, Joshua. Like Paul, pressing. What was Paul's main focus? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, my main focus is pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is your main focus? Perhaps some of us ought to find an altar today and say, Lord, I need some help with my focus. And Lord, wait a minute. Some of us ought to find an altar and say, Lord, before you have to bring an event. Lord, give me enough sense before you have to bring an event to get focused. And we ought to get focused today and stay focused. Hey, wait a minute. What's the purpose of this conference? Multi-purpose, but what's the purpose of this conference? Do you not think it's to get us focused? Focused on last night on prayer. Focused on keeping that sword drawn. Focused on Holy Spirit power. Focused! Don't miss the purpose of this men's meeting. You stand with me, please.